Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Mets, they swept. The Chicago White Sox took care of business against a very bad baseball team and find themselves with the Braves loss tonight, only one game back in of the third wild card spot. To talk about the Mets, we bring in Will Salmon, covers the Mets from The Athletic. He was in Chicago, just got home. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, Lori, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, before I forget, I had a caller and a little back and forth with somebody on Twitter, which had to do with this concept of a Mets ace. And because one of the things that I was saying was that Kodai Senga, the Mets lost him. He was supposed to be the ace, and maybe under our noses in the last month, somehow an ace has emerged, and his name is Sean Manaea. But before we get into Manaea and talking about all this, I had promised that fan that I would ask about Senga's status. Is there anything new there or any thought that there's any possibility that if the Mets do make the postseason, that Kodai Senga could be available?
Yeah, that was always in play, though. So it's not necessarily new. It's just that he's basically where he probably should be at this point, and that's he just started playing catch recently, and he still has a ways to go here. And he's on the 60-day injured list, so he's not even eligible to come off until September 25th. And so that would put it right toward the end of the season. And look, if he's available for like those last three or four games, whatever it is, that'd be great. Perhaps if the Mets are still in it the way that we think that they probably will be. But yeah, I think that when the injury happened, they were quick to say like, hey, he's going to be out for the regular season. And by all intents and purposes, he probably is, aside from maybe a couple of games. But that's if everything goes perfectly. And with Kodai Senga, sometimes things do not go perfectly, as was the case earlier this year when he dealt with an injury. Setbacks happen, things happen, so we'll see. But right now, I think he's probably where he should be in terms of the recovery from that.
So the Mets face the White Sox, and obviously they are a terrible baseball team. However, they have a dynamic pitcher in Garrett Crochet, and they obviously have him on a pitch count, an innings limit, all of that at this point, not letting him go deep into games. But watching this game today with Sean Manaea for the Mets and Garrett Crochet for the White Sox, it was clearly a pitcher's duel. And did it strike you that Sean Manaea did not look out of place in the role of Mets ace going up against another team's ace?
Yeah, when the game was over, I had asked Carlos Mendoza, is this your number one starter at this point? Like, has he changed the conversation for you? Because that was not the case in the beginning of the year, right? When they signed Sean Manaea, he was basically going to be a pretty solid middle-of-the-rotation guy. Coming off a weird season with the Giants where he was in sort of a hybrid role, and they liked what they saw toward the end of that year and thought, hey, there's some stuff here that's on the upside, so like let's try it out. Gave him a two-year guarantee with a player option for next year. So it was a pretty low-risk type of deal for what you were kind of getting, and somebody who could maybe give you a decent amount of innings as well and provide some stability to the rotation, but he's basically led the rotation instead. And yeah, like you said, Lori, like the White Sox stink, but the Orioles don't and the Diamondbacks don't.
Right.
And he was lights out against both those clubs. He pitched really well. I think it was 20 strikeouts, zero walks combined in those two outings before he overmatched the White Sox. And so, yeah, and there is something, I think, to the fact that he was up against Crochet, and Carlos Mendoza mentioned that as well, where he looked to match him. And look, the White Sox are terrible. Crochet is not. Crochet is very good. And so, like, you saw a glimpse of what it could be, like, in the sense of a pitcher-first pitcher. Certainly, the better teams are going to have guys with OPSs starting in the sevens and the eights and not the sixes like the White Sox do. So, like, there will be a different, totally different situation there. But we did see him, I think, look to the other side and see who he was pitching against and try to match that guy for what he was doing out there for, like, those few innings. And then he stayed around and pitched, got through seven innings again. And that's been sort of the norm for him ever since he changed his mechanics and made some changes with his pitching repertoire as well. And he's really stayed on the attack, and he got rid of the walk issue that really plagued him this year early on.
I look at the Braves' upcoming schedule and remaining schedule, and it certainly looks much easier than what the Mets have remaining. But on the other hand, I look at the Mets coming off of a stretch of the season where they were playing the Orioles, playing, you know, it was Orioles, Padres, Diamondbacks, and the Mets, you know, winning series and holding their own against good teams. And so for Mets fans who are, you know, kind of now scoreboard watching and looking at every game and what the Braves are doing, how do you assess the Mets' chances with this last month?
Yeah, I think for a while I've liked their chances for making the playoffs, actually. And I say that in part because I don't think that any team is in the league, aside from like the Dodgers and the Brewers. I don't think these other teams, and I guess the Phillies as well, but the other teams in the wild card race, at least, they're not much better than the Mets, I would say. I think the Padres are a pretty solid team, and the Diamondbacks have played well. But the Mets are pretty solid themselves, I think, at least. They have their issues, don't get me wrong. There are some flaws here, and there's some questions that we'll see how things go in September. Again, some teams that will test them, no doubt, like the Phillies and the Braves and the Brewers, for that matter. But I see a team that has believed in itself for a while now, ever since they kind of righted their season a couple of months ago. And they've had some ups and downs. But I think that they have some strengths here. I think the starting pitching is better, or has performed better than I thought it would, at least. I think their lineup is pretty solid. Defensively, they've improved. So the question still exists in their bullpen. They have to sort of, they've been better lately, but they have to prove it against better teams and continue to do it against better teams for me to be a believer in that. And they're a little susceptible, a little thin in the rotation. I think that they're like one problem away from, you know, facing a situation that they really don't want to be in, because they lack options for that kind of thing if they have to address something there. But for right now, the way the roster is, the way it stands, I like their chances. I don't think that they're that far off, and I think the Braves are pretty vulnerable at the moment.
A bunch of Mets fans just knocked on wood when you talked about the rotation being vulnerable if there was a problem or an injury. Talking to Will Salmon from The Athletic about the Mets, you mentioned the bullpen and that they have to prove it against better teams in order to trust them. That also goes, or does that also go for Edwin Diaz, where, you know, we've seen the good Edwin Diaz this season, and then we see the guy who blows saves at the worst possible moments just when this team is building momentum and confidence.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yes, I think that from Edwin Diaz, you have to see him get on the attack early. And when he doesn't do that, the anxiety for Mets fans probably starts to build, and rightfully so. He's had a pretty uneven season this year. So it really depends on, I think, like, we can kind of tell within that first batter what kind of outing this is going to be sometimes. I think the Padres outing was a little bit different in that sense, but the command was still shaky from the jump, if you go back and check. And so I think for him, the biggest thing sometimes is just getting strike one and getting ahead, because then he just puts people in a really precarious position where he could go with that slider, or he could just stay on the attack with his fastball like he did against the Diamondbacks the other night. So I'd like to see him do it against better teams, because it's one thing to kind of, dominate the White Sox a couple of outings, but clearly, he's going to get tested against the Red Sox, and even the Reds are going to present at least a better challenge than the White Sox. So, yeah, I will say, though, that he showed some good signs in being able to pitch 4 out of 5 days and also pitching 3 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And his velocity stuck, and his stuff was there. So those are all good signs, and that's probably where he should be, because he wasn't really used all that much. I mean, he had the poor performance at one point, so they backed off. He had the injured list in, and he had the suspension. So coming off a season where he did not pitch at all in 2023, They wanted to go a little bit conservative here, and they are in the situation now where it's time to go with him. And so we're going to see him used a little bit more aggressively, I would say. And the usage is certainly going to go up from here like it has the past week.
As the Mets, as every game is precious for the Mets, you're trying to make the postseason and then into the postseason. It's every inning, every at bat, it's all important right now. It's not the play the young players for their development part of the season. It's the win now part of the season. When you look at the Mets' catching position, as much as we all may believe that Francisco Alvarez is the Mets, regular catcher of the future, long-term answer at the position, when you look at Alvarez and you look at Luis Torrens right now, who, evaluate those two players, and should Torrens be playing more than he is playing?
I think he could get maybe an extra start during the week, but I wouldn't go to him as as the default catcher right now. I think that Francisco Alvarez should still be your guy, and that's the case for a few reasons. One, Torrens got off to a really great start initially with the Mets offensively, but lately he also really hasn't been hitting all that much. Had some offers recently as well, but he's really great defensively where he has been so far with the Mets. He threw out another runner, and that went a little bit under the radar, but that was the first out of the seventh inning or the sixth inning, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was huge at the time because who knows what could happen in that. It was a one-run game at the time. And this is coming off, the day after, Alvarez had a pass ball and was a little bit shaky defensively, actually, in addition to his offensive woes. But I think Alvarez still has that presence to him when he gets in the box. I know it's not there right now, but teams do probably still see him as that type of guy who could change a game with one swing, whereas Torrens is not. I still think it's there for him, and I don't know if he's going to necessarily break out of this slump in time for the season in a major way, but I do believe that it may not be the best thing for him to maybe lose out on his job completely, and I don't think it's great for the team either when he's the guy who is really leading that pitching staff also. I think he does a pretty sound job with that. And like I said, he still brings that presence. I think he's still the type of hitter who can get hot. And once he does get hot, it's awfully good. I would see Torrens. I could see Torrens getting maybe an additional start than he's getting, but I wouldn't go much more than that. Not yet anyway, just because you're kind of late into the season. And I know that there's some pressure to make a change there. But at the same time, I don't know, part of me thinks you could maybe do some more harm than good that way as well. When it's not, I guess, that much of a difference right now offensively and defensively. I still don't think I don't think Alvarez is bad defensively, even if Torrens is maybe better this year.
Last one before I let you go. When, you're obviously around the Mets, the club, in the clubhouse. How important was this last stretch against those good teams, Orioles and Padres and Diamondbacks, that looked like a real gauntlet for this team and their playoff chances? And did you sense any shift or increase in confidence in the Mets clubhouse, any change in the vibe in there, in this team, and how they feel about themselves getting through that portion of the season?
Well, you know what? They've been pretty loose, I would say, for the last few weeks, and even going back further, I didn't really get the sense, even like when they lost, like, say, 2 out of 3 against the Oakland Athletics last month, and when they were coming off that sweep from the Mariners, I didn't necessarily get the sense that, like, clearly they were disappointed, but I didn't get the sense that they were like all of a sudden going to start pressing and maybe start overdoing it. Like I got the vibe in April of like what was occurring for a little bit of time and, in early May, it didn't necessarily feel like that. Although some people may have suggested outside that it did. I never really got that impression. And I give a lot of credit to guys like JD Martinez, who really set the tone there, and Francisco Lindor, no doubt. But I think Martinez is one of those guys who has really brought a different perspective to the group of like, just relax. Like this is like they and they've showed us this over the last couple of weeks, and particularly in the stretch that you mentioned, where like there was a lot to happen here, a lot that was left to unfold. And they went into that stretch against the Orioles, Padres, Diamondbacks, and then the sort of trap series here against the White Sox that they ended up sweeping. And I looked at this as this wasn't going to necessarily make their season, even if they did well, but it had the potential to break their season. And they didn't break. They're still firmly in it. And they're only one game out at this point afterwards. So they're in a pretty solid position here. And I attribute a lot of that to their veteran leadership.
All right, Will Salmon from The Athletic. Appreciate the time. And yeah, we're in stretch run time, so we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much.
You got it, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.